uncensored, no holds barred talk, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is the Global Reality Radio Network.
Of the Global Reality right here on the Global Reality Radio Network with me, your host, Josh Reeves. Thanks for being with us here tonight for another late night Moonbat edition of the broadcast. It is Monday, the Monday edition, May 7th into Tuesday, May the 8th, 2012. And we are live here with you tonight. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for staying up late. Thanks for flapping the wings and being troopers. And if you're listening later on an archive or YouTube video in the morning time or something, good morning to you. I hope you're having a nice start to your day with your cup of coffee, and I hope that, Lumberg isn't on your ass too much for the TBS reports or something, you know, whatever it may be. So, thanks for being with us here. We've got news to get into tonight, and we're also going to continue our new series of reading, Vera Stanley Alder's The Fifth Dimension. I tell you, I recall sort of thinking about this. I think I started reading this book once on the show back in, like, I don't know, 2009 or something. I want to say I started reading it on the show, and I stopped for some reason, didn't read it all, because, something in it I didn't agree with, or I don't remember what it was. I don't know if anybody else remembers that. At the time, when I first started reading it the other night, it didn't really dawn on me. I started thinking about that. I want to say I started reading that book already at some point, or did read it at some point on the show, and then stopped for whatever reason. I don't remember. But I want to say that did happen. Somebody in the chat room says that Boyd Mirror says he remembers that. Okay. Yeah. The Kabbalion. I already read the Kabbalion already. I'm talking about, a few years ago. Oh, yeah, because is this the one that gets into all that that meditation stuff? Yeah, Brzezinski, that was that was just obvious. Why that was, that's garbage to even try to read on air, dude. Yeah. No, I didn't skip anything on the Kabbalion. I read it word for word out of the copy that I had, and I didn't skip any pages. Maybe there's a different version you have out there than the one I read, but in the copy that I read of the Kabbalion, I did not skip anything that was in that book. So, maybe you're privy to a copy of it that I didn't have. I don't know. So my point is, I was asked to read this book, The Fifth Dimension, by Vera Stanley Alder, and I'm gonna take the same audible I took last time. I'm gonna read it, but if I start to, I kind of do this with all books, to be honest with you, it's kind of been happy accidents that we've read the as many books in a row as we have here on the show, without me, stop it and go, fuck this. It's bullshit. It's horseshit. I don't want to read this. Because I had to be getting something out of it, and you guys had to be getting something out of it, too. And if you're not, then it's pointless. So But you can always send in your suggestions, you know, if you have book suggestions for me to read. GlobalRealityShow@gmail.com. That's GlobalRealityShow@gmail.com. So I'll tell you what, I'll try to read this for you. But if it gets too much for me to do or to handle, or I think it's not pointless, then I'm not going to do that, you know. Or if I fall, you know, like Starship Troopers, you know, you got the job until you get killed, or I find somebody better. That's kind of the deal here, you know. I'll read it, but if something else better comes along, I may stop. I don't know. We'll see. But it's a request. I'm trying to fulfill that request. But I just did want to point out that I did distinctly remember there was a show at some point where I said started reading the book or something, and I was just kind of like, eh. Because I think it gets into meditation and stuff like that, and like meditation practice and teaching you how to meditate. Which, you know, I mean, I guess might be cool, but I don't really know if I'm really into getting into that here. It's, you know, not to say it's not important, but I don't know. If it is that, and I think it is, we'll see. Judging by the intro we read the other night, I think it probably is. But anyway, I'll do my best, man. You know, I'll read some of it. If it sounds like it's getting good or we're getting some good stuff out of it, then I'll keep going. If not, I'm going to call it audible and pick something else. But, you know, you look at the stuff that I've read here on the show. That was a pretty good, you know, suggestion. I just don't think the guy was listening probably back then when I had done those shows, which is just fine. But you look at the stuff I've read here on the show through the years. I actually did a bunch of shows, too, where I read over a course of a long period of time. Sporadically read different chapters. And I think I eventually read all of it, just not in a row, you know. But I did do a series of reading of Manly P. Hall's Secret Teachings of All Ages. I don't know if there's anybody in our audience still out there that remembers that or not. I always wonder why those recordings weren't cut and edited and put up on YouTube like so many of our others have. I mean, I know those recordings are out there. But they were done sporadically over the course of, you know, a bunch of shows. And they... I want to say that was like 2008, 2009 as well. But yeah, if you have suggestions, globalrealityshow@gmail.com. That's where you can also send emails as well. Anytime. Haven't really had that many lately, so it hasn't been being as big a part of our show as it was in the past. It generally kind of slows down. It picks up after if I go on Red Ice, we'll get, you know, 300 or 400 a day, and then it slows down, tapers off a bit. TheGlobalReality.com is my website where this broadcast originates from. That's TheGlobalReality.com. You'll find all kinds of things up there, all of my films, mini films, including all of my newest stuff that I've put out, Reality of Illusion Series Part 5, Secrets of the Sun, which has been our fastest rising viewed video to date. Thanks to everybody out there for spreading that around, putting on their websites and everything like that. Good information, good stuff out there to let other people know about. At least stuff to look at just for the possibilities, you know what I mean? People become so conditioned by people hammering them over the head constantly with dogma and belief systems and, you know, culture memes and everything else that they're kind of taken aback at somebody like me who, you know, just says, look, I mean, just look at the possibilities here. Look at the evidence. Look at what he shows. And let's look at what's possible and think outside the box, because that's exactly what gave these people the ability and the power to be able to get us here in the first place. So thinking linearly or thinking in the way you would normally think about things through your programming and your schooling and all this stuff is not going to get the job done in this realm, and it's going to force you into situations where you're parroting the same old conspiracy line. And I think that's happening in a lot of cases because, you know, that's all they have to fall back on. So here we examine all possibilities within reason. Now, I will call the absolute rubbish and bullshit when needed, but the fact of the matter is, you have to be looking at every angle of this because these motherfuckers are working on every angle at you with this. That's a fact. So, if, and I don't think that very many people would dispute that fact, that they're working at us from all angles with this stuff. Okay? I mean, I don't, I, you know, regardless of how many people agree with me on what I get into, I don't think there's very many people out there that would disagree with that statement, but they are coming at us from every conceivable angle to keep this agenda going and to keep us enslaved. Right? I mean, I think, seriously, that pretty much everybody out there can agree with that. So if that's true, that means that we have to be coming at them from every conceivable angle. We have to be looking at every conceivable angle and nook and cranny and little things. And there's got to be people out there that are willing to take the plunge, like me and others, to get into the deeper sides of this stuff because, man, it is as deep as you're willing to allow yourself to look into it. And I think a lot of people are scared. I think a lot of people get to a point where they just don't want to know anymore. They get to a point where it's so fucking heavy for them, they just would rather go back to that old world of where, you know, no surprises. Let's just blame the Jews all day long and go back to saying it's, you know, a Jewish conspiracy to kill Christians and the Constitution's good. Go Ron Paul and I'm going to turn on Alex Jones. Woohoo! And that's what a lot of people do because that's easier for them to handle than having to come to grips with the fact that everything they thought was true for the most part has been a lie. So I will continue to dig as deep as I possibly can. And every time, I mean, it's amazing because I never approach anything. People think that I'm some extremist or some radical when it comes to the topics I get into and what I research. And honestly, I'm, you know, although I'm not a Republican or a conservative in that sense, of the, not in the political sense, but I'm, you know, I'm about as conservative as it gets as far as my estimations for things a lot of times. And my, I shoot real short on my estimations when I, you know, when I don't have all the evidence yet. Oh, well, it's probably this and this and this, and maybe it's this. You know, while inside my head I'm thinking, well, you know, it could be a lot deeper than that. And the next thing you know, well, for instance, like when I was, this newest film I'm working on, I had just originally intended this to be just about the rock wall and to get into that. And the rock wall thing's really started to become a smaller part of this film because it's a much greater whole now. So much more new information, deeper information that really goes to back up everything we already know about this grand ongoing conspiracy that's been going on for years and years and years. Millennia, centuries. And I, you know, I never dreamed when I got into researching this topic and making this new film that it would, you know, reinforce all those things that we already knew about, you know, an ongoing cover-up, an ongoing conspiracy that's been passed down generationally. And the lies we've been told to about history. I mean, I'm having to, I mean, this is difficult for me, and I think it's going to be difficult for a lot of people to comprehend a lot of this too, so I'm trying to in some way make this palatable in the film, but you have to rethink what you believe about the timeline of history. Do you understand what I mean? You have to, I mean, we think about this linear way of, you know, the pilgrims and immigrants coming from the east to the west to the new world and blah 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 blah, and you know, we're getting away from taxation and boom, here we go, and that's it, and you know, we got rid of the red man and everything. But it's completely the other way around. Civilizations were on this side of the world massively way, way farther back in antiquity than even when the Great Pyramids and stuff were built. It went west to east, not east to west. And that having to rethink and reprogram your brain to a new belief system because of what you've been programmed to believe to be true, and you're so hardened in its belief, even though what proof do you really have? Some book or what some teacher told you in some school when you were a child? Not even, you know, not even matured enough yet to really think on that level. You know, that's the whole thing, is that we're taught a lot of this stuff at an age, by law, when we're not really at that level yet to where we can even comprehend the implications of what the things that some of the stuff that they teach us, especially, you know, in this bullshit phony history class. And by the time we are old enough to comprehend it, we're not thinking about that shit. We're thinking about how we're going to get laid, how we're going to eat, how we're going to pay the rent, and that's it. And so they force you into this system where that becomes what your existence is all about, and you never think to even question, why would you question, you know, they're the authority figures, right? Wow, why, you know, a teacher or a state or a book, a school book would never lie and never give us a false version of history, would it? We wouldn't get away with that. They'd get caught. There's no way, right? It's just not true. So this, and I love this time. I love this time we're living in right now. I think it's fantastic, don't you? The age of revealing, baby. All will be revealed and is being revealed all around us all the time. And I think it's fantastic because you're really getting to see right now, I think, who's who. You know what I mean? I mean, you're really getting to see who's who, because the people who are real are stabbing it up, and the people who are phonies are showing their cards for what they are, and it's, you know, it's shocking. It's shocking to see. It's shocking to, you know, it is. Especially when it happens from places that you're not expecting it to. So, you know, but that's the thing, man. That's the ride. That's where we're at right now. You know, the planetary alignments and the galactic alignments and the alignment of stars and locations and certain dates and all this stuff. It's not just hogwash bullshit. There is a reason why all the presidents have in-house astrologers. There's a reason why all the queens and lords of England have in-house astrologers and have for hundreds of years. These people don't make moves, don't launch wars, don't do a goddamn thing until they consult the stars and the numbers and everything first, and everything lines up, and then they go forward with it. So if you want to beat something that's operating on another level, you damn sure better get ready to start taking your ass down to another level of thinking and, you know, quit allowing yourself to be put inside of that mental prison willfully. I can't believe that there's so many mind traps waiting on you at every turn in this world. And it doesn't take much to fall in one, and we've all been guilty of it at some point or another. But what baffles my mind is that someone would put themselves in one of those mental prisons willfully. I see it all the time. Blows my mind. Especially when you know that person knows better. You know what I mean? Especially when you know that person knows what's up. And then you see them still put themselves in a mental prison, and you're like, wait, how the hell did that happen? But, you know, that's them's the breaks, as they say. You know, every hero I ever had, it got me into, you know, it was my inspiration for wanting to do this. You know, I've had to come to find them to be suspect, all of them, every last goddamn one of them. Now, the only person I still think is okay, and I get criticized for this all the time, but you know what? I'm standing by my guns. Michael Desarian. He's never given me any reason. In fact, something he's been criticized for, I'm finding in my own research to be true, even though I didn't believe it at one time. The whole Irish origin civilization and stuff moving. I didn't really. I heard some of that stuff and read his books and stuff on it. I didn't really get into that stuff. I thought it was kooky, even though I thought the rest of his stuff was on the up and up. I'm starting to find that. I mean, they found. There's a cave, and I talked about this recently. There's a cave in Oklahoma. I can't find out where it's at. It's somewhere in the panhandle, but I can't find anything online about where it is. The Anubis Caves, where they found, you know, Celtic cross stuff. I mean, we're talking, you know, thousands of years ago. And, of course, this place where these artifacts were found the Anubis Cave, it also had alignments to the solstices and the equinoxes. Again, none of these things are coincidences, and yet there still are some people who are putting themselves in these mental prisons that want to tell you not to look into this stuff, or that it's a distraction or whatever else. You better start paying attention, and you better start paying attention quick. Because the people that were on this rock and witnessed the same sort of time period that we're witnessing now went to great lengths all over the planet to tell you and I what we will see in the future. All these temples, all these mounds, all these places all over the planet, all aligned to the same thing. Some aligned to different things. Some aligned to... there's many aligned to various different star systems. Some to Cygnus, some to Sirius, some to this more recent one we talked about last week on the show, the Demon Star, Trinary Star System. They were aware of cyclical events. That's why they were called sun worshipers. In fact, it wasn't so much that they were sun worshipers, but the worship of the deity that inhabits the sun, more or less. The ability to give life, the ability to take life, to scorch it out, to start it all over again. The people that were fortunate enough to live after the last time the Earth was wiped out and the reset button was set wanted to make sure that people knew that this was something that would, in fact, in the future happen again. And so, again, while we're all, you know, supposed to be whipped up in a frenzy about the elections and about Trayvon and about, you know, whatever celebrity died this week, there are people in secret who have the knowledge of celestial events, who have the knowledge of events on this planet, who are keeping it from us, all under the guise of being able to keep their master plan perpetuating itself into the future. And think about it, from cradle to grave, think about it, everything you do in your life, every job that you work, every dollar you make, every dollar you spend, no matter what it's on, at the end of the day, after you're dead, and they put you in the box and put you in the ground, and your insurance pays for everything, blah, blah, blah. You know, these guys own everything. From cradle to grave to the end of the day, everything that we're fighting and slaving for, everything that we're killing and dying for in wars, everything that we think is important, it's all a facade, it's all a veil, it's been put there to shield us from the truth. At the end of the day, all of it, everything you fight and slave and die for and work for your whole life, in the end, goes right back to these motherfuckers. It's a perpetual cycle, man. Nobody comes out of this a winner. So what do you got to do? Well, the only thing you can do is you got to go bust up the motherfucker who's running the game in the first place. Now, how do you do that? You find out who they are. You identify them. I used to tell people... hosts on other networks I was on tell me that identifying who these people are wasn't important. What? Identifying who these people are that are doing this is not important? How do you hope to ever form a solution to stopping these motherfuckers if you don't know who they are? Also, on top of knowing who they are, you also have to be able to figure out everything they're connected to and everything they've got their fingers in and everything that this whole world system is for. And oh yeah, they do think they're superior. And oh yes, they do want to get off this rock. And oh yes, they do want to spread their seed onto other planets. And they'd be happy to do that and leave us all down here to rot if it was a way for them to continue this. That's the whole thing. I don't even think the people at the very tip top of the pyramid, I didn't believe this a couple of years ago. I maybe didn't believe this 6 months ago. You know, I'm 35, going on 36. I tell you, at this point in the game, I think the people at the tip, and we'll probably never know who they are. I mean, people think the Bilderberg Group is the top of the pyramid. I just laugh at that. My God. The people at the top of this thing, you will never know their names. Period, end of story. Never know their names. Because they don't publish them. They're not on paper. They're not in books. They're not written about. They're not to be found. But they're there. Even the tip-top people of the bloodline families don't even know some of these guys' names. But it's, you know, to think that we know, we can even identify who the tip-top of the thing is at this point is, you know, we don't have all the information. Everybody always wants to know what the solution is, but yet people are still unwilling to really delve into what is behind all this. So that's what we're going to continue to do here on this show. I, you know, again, every time I do a film, this happens to me. It's unbelievable it's happened to me again here. Where I'm just, it's just, it, you know, it, I fell into something that is deeper, heavier, and more important than I thought it was before I started the project. I mean, you just can't count on these things to happen, but, you know, believe it or not, eventually they do. I mean, this is huge. This, what I'm onto here is big. It's really big because it's also very worrisome as well. Because and this is the part I'm going to have to just spit this out and be honest. As crazy as this sounds, I'm just going to spit this out and tell you this because it's something that has been popping up in my head since I've been working on this film, and I've been struggling with coming to grips to the idea of it myself because it just sounds so goddamn kooky. So I'm not, you know, I'm not saying this as a belief I hold or anything. I'm just saying that oftentimes when you do research and you're really paying attention, there are things that present themselves to you with undeniable clarity because of the facts. And sometimes those things are even tough for me to swallow. And they bother me when there's things to support it. And if we really are sitting on the new Atlantis, on the remnants of the old Atlantis here in the United States, and what these ancient writings about Atlantis say, and the future Atlantis too, that, of course, Plato and Sir Francis Bacon, John Dee, the whole deal. From what these ancient texts say, I mean, there's a real chance that our society or the country, the United States, and I don't know what part of South America and Mexico and all that too. I don't know. I don't know what part of Canada. I don't know. But it seems that this area may possibly see the same fate that it saw during the Great Flood. Now, it may not be a flood again, but it could be fire, or it could be some other catastrophe. But I got to be honest with you, man. A lot of this research that I'm finding, a lot of the things that indicate that point in the direction that the reason they allowed the United States to become the big supremacist you know, the big monstrosity country that it is, the world's largest superpower, the world, you know, the big top country for so long, was so that it could be destroyed at a later date during a already known about cyclical event that happens on a cyclical nature that happened the last time the Great Flood happened, wiped out Atlantis, and that the ancients knew about, and that these people and the governments of the world know about and have known and kept about in secret in the secret society structure. And that this is why they have left, because, well, it's, think about it. Why do you think they're allowing Dubai to become what it is? It talks about in the Bible and all the ancient texts, right, about how, you know, before, what was it, before the end times or before the return of Christ or whatever, Babylon had to be destroyed. But that's the thing, Babylon was never destroyed. And I've often wondered if they were, you know, rebuilding Babylon, Dubai, for its later destruction. And had already kind of been thinking along those lines, and I thought, wait a minute. You know, is this why they allowed this to happen? Is this why they squashed all this ancient history and they buried these mounds and they buried all this ancient architecture and they buried all this past? Because they don't want us to know what the ancients knew, that these cyclical events happen, these extinction-level events. And I don't know whether other parts of the world are affected, going to be affected by that or not. As I mean, they were during the time of the deluge and whatnot, so I'd imagine it would be. But you know, I don't know, man. I mean, it seems like a very alarmist thing to believe in. But a lot of this evidence points in the direction of this being cyclical, of being. That's why they went through all the trouble of building these mounds. But that these ancient people who also built these mounds had the knowledge of some sort of frequency resonance where they could hum these chants and different frequencies with the human voice near these ancient monolithic structures like Stonehenge or the Rock Wall or, you know, the Great Pyramid, whatever it may be. And that if the frequencies and everything were done right, it would actually cause it to vibrate to a point where the frequencies would create an energy that would open up a portal that you would go to that would transfer you to whatever star system that specific monolithic structure was aligned to. And that these ancient people who knew about these events, these cyclical events, knew about these alignments with the sun, at the times of these cataclysms, literally disappeared. It's unbelievable stuff, and it challenges the thinking even of you know, people who are thinking outside of the box. But I tell you, folks, the more I research this stuff and the more I read, the more I find out how true it is, and I want to thank Michael in Michigan, one of our listeners. He got several of the books, four or five of the books, I think, off of our wish list there for our research material that we needed. And so I want to thank him. That's going to help us out a long way towards getting more of the information and get me more research materials here. That's what I need right now. I need more research material, more footage. That's the two most important things that I need for this film right now. But, you know, of course, it requires these goddamn Federal Reserve notes to do that. But we do have our chipping banner there up at the website. We have the one for the bills for the month. But below that, we have one for the film budget there. We only have 125 in there so far and only 100 in the other one so far. Slow month last month. Have been slow, kind of slow this month so far. So just help us out if you can. Because that's the two main things that I need right now is more footage. We don't have near enough footage to complete the film yet. And I do have a few more sites I need to go visit to film as well. I got to have funding to do that. More of these research material that I've got coming on the way now. So that's going to help us a great deal. So really my biggest concern is getting the rest of the funding that I need, the last bit of funding for this film. We also have other items up there on our Amazon wish list that's underneath the chipping banners. basically I went through there and put all the stuff for, you know, that we would need for new studio stuff, you know, new film stuff. I just basically made, like, you know, the dream wish list up there. And I thought that was so funny because I went there, you know, made, like, the dream wish list for everything I would need for, you know, the next few films and for the radio network stuff to be good, the audio stuff to be good for a long time. And it was funny. I was just looking at that, and I was like, well, how much would this cost all to buy, you know, all at once? And I was looking, and it was like, you know, $7,000 or whatever, you know. And I was just laughing at that. And I think about, you know, Jonesy and some of these, you know, other hucksters out there, like Jonesy, you know, Jonesy making $250,000 a month on sponsors and videos and stuff. I'm sitting there thinking, you know, $7,000 is not a lot of money in the grand scope of things. What it costs us to run the operation, $1,500 a month, is not a lot of money at all in the grand scope of things. And, you know, these guys live in gated communities and spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on guard dogs and all this stuff, only to get up there and lie about the truth and lie about the information. And, you know, I could put a dent in these motherfuckers' armor harder than shit. So hard I don't even know how fucking hard it would be with, like, $7,000. That, to me, just, because, I mean, it does, you know, it's just hilarious to me when I think about that. And I think about the way, you know, what a threat I have become with my information to so many of the hucksters out there. It's just greatness. And, you know, it just goes to show you that it's not always the guy with the biggest rock that slays the giant. You know what I mean? Let's get into our news here tonight. I was completely astounded at this, seeing this today. I couldn't believe this because back in 2009, I had broke this story of the woman who had gotten kicked out of an Obama campaign fundraising event during the last election cycle, Heba Aref. And they made a big deal out of it in the news at the time. And then the next thing you know, she's on the same plane coming back from Amsterdam with the alleged underwear bomb. And that sent out red flags immediately, you know, Mossad agent. And I'll be goddamned, ladies and gentlemen, if those two exact same things right here in the heart of the election cycle again didn't happen again today. Unbelievable. I kid you not. Listen to this. Woman in black burqa kicked out of Obama campaign event. I'm having flashbacks. This is the 2008 elections all over again. This is the kind of stuff that you get to witness, ladies and gentlemen, when you got your fucking balls deep in this shit 24/7 like I do. You know, you really do. This is the kind of, you get to see them in broad daylight run the same op they ran several years ago. And because they know that nobody really is paying attention, they think you won't catch it, won't pick up on it. And then it happens again. And to me, it's just them taking our fucking nose and rubbing it in shit when they do this. Because they know that we know, and these are motherfuckers are just loving it. They're just, oh, you love that shit, don't you? Yeah. Rub your nose in that shit. You like it. That's what they're doing to us right now. They ran this same op all over again, folks. Not just that one. Not just the woman in burqa getting kicked out of Obama campaign event. Oh, no. Surely you heard about this by now. The CIA thwarted a suicide plot by an al-Qaeda affiliate in Yemen, home of the Ark of the Covenant, to bring down a U.S.-bound airliner near last week's one-year anniversary of the Osama bin Laden's death with an upgraded underwear bomb. So today we have news of both a new underwear bomb attempt and another lady wearing a burqa and getting kicked out of an Obama campaign event. Now, what are the odds, ladies and gentlemen? What are the odds that two election cycles in a row with Barack Obama, two in a row, we would see two of the exact same events happen simultaneously right next to each other almost at the exact same time they did. The bombing thing happened around Christmas, or the attempted bombing thing happened around Christmas. But the burqa thing, yeah, happened around this time. A woman dressed in a black burqa was removed during President Obama's inaugural reelection campaign stop at Virginia Commonwealth University Saturday. According to a White House pool report, photographers observed the woman being escorted out of the gym by Richmond police and other security officials. The woman appeared to be wearing dark clothing and U.S. military pins and was carrying a book. She cooperated with police, according to the report. She's probably some fucking soldier that got killed over there in Afghanistan. She's probably some poor soldier's wife, you know, widow, wearing his pins, his military pins, you know, maybe thinking this cocksucker will keep any more like her husband from dying, which is a lie. It's unbelievable. This smells of PSYOP, and believe me, they need another event to happen before the elections that can show that Obama's tough on terrorism and give reason why we need to go after them goddamn dirty Arabers. So I think these are both pretty good indicators that something like that is possibly in the pipes. I mean, well, listen to this. It's like question and answer right here. They're saying that the Taliban is now stronger than it was before the war in Afghanistan started. So what the fuck have we been doing over there then? Maybe it's time to reassess the situation. Have we been getting our asses kicked that hard over there? They're stronger? Yeah, of course they're stronger. Because they're us. We're them. We're the ones training these cocksuckers. So the Taliban is stronger than it was before the war in Afghanistan. Why? Okay, here's an article to tell you why. Fox News. I can't believe Fox News would report the truth for once. U.S. secretly releasing Taliban fighters, says report. The U.S. has been secretly releasing captured Taliban fighters from a detention center in Afghanistan in a bid to strengthen its hand in peace talks with an insurgent group. Wait. So the Taliban is now stronger than it was before the war in Afghanistan, and yet at the same time, you're releasing Taliban back? You're wondering why they're getting stronger? Because you had these motherfuckers pent up in captivity, and you just released them, and now they're pissed because you had them in captivity. So now they're going to want to kill even more. Do we really live in a world where people this ignorant to not be pissed off about this? How could they get away with running two articles in the mainstream news in one day, one on CNN and one on Fox News, of course, and people not be screaming about this? Taliban is stronger than it was before Afghanistan, and U.S. is secretly releasing Taliban fighters. We don't know why they're getting stronger. Well, we can't tell you. That goddamn Afghan or Taliban. Yep. Yeah, them bastards are even stronger now. Boy, it seems all that bombing, killing, and shooting just pissed them off even more. Yep. Yep, we don't care. Well, we're going to go ahead and release some of these boys anyway. Can't do no harm. I mean, it's good to know that there are brains in charge of the world. Wow. I sleep well at night knowing that decisions like that are being made. That's when you see stuff like that and you're like, there's got to be a computer running this thing. No person would be that stupid. Thousands of pills filled with powdered human flesh. That's always tasty. Have been discovered by customs officials in South Korea, it was revealed today. The capsules are in demand because they are being viewed as a medicinal cure-all. I bet they are. Fucking stem cells pills, dude. Crushed up fetuses in there. Fuck yeah, dude. What you got? AIDS, herpes, cancer, cholera? Here, take a couple of these fetus pills. You'll be on your way in no time. I had an 8-foot growth on my anus until I took these baby fetus pills, and now my growth has gone away. Thank you. Baby penis pills. God, what the fuck? Oh, this is, you know, this is some elite shit right here. This is what the elitists do. David Rockefeller's got a fucking bowl of these things in his office, you know. You're not going to say, come in. Would you like a fetus pill while you're in here, Smithers? If you go listen to Mr. Burns, him and David Rockefeller talk exactly the same way. The grim trade is being run from China. Where else? I mean, really. They have mobile kill vans in China. If some rich Israeli needs an organ, they keep that. This is what they want to do here. That's why they want your DNA now at check stops and, you know, checkpoints and all this stuff, or, you know, minor infractions. They, oh, well, we need to take a DNA sample just in case. They want everybody's DNA in a database so that when a rich Israeli needs an organ, this is what they do in China. If a rich Israeli needs an organ, or a rich Saudi needs an organ, and they've got a match, mobile kill van, baby. Mobile kill van rolls up to your house, grabs you out of your crib or out of your job, takes you in a van, butchers you alive in the van, takes out what parts they need, and then take your ass to the morgue and call your family and tell them to come dispose of you. That's how it works. And that's what they want to do here. The tiny corpses are then bought. The grim trade is being run from China, where corrupt medical staff are said to be tipping off medical companies when babies are aborted or delivered stillborn. The tiny corpses are then bought, stored in household refrigerators and homes of those involved in the trade before they are removed and taken to clinics where they are placed in medical drying microwaves. Once the skin is tender dry, it is pummeled into powder and then processed into capsules along with herbs to disguise the true ingredients from health investigators and customs officers. The discoveries since last August has shocked even hardened customs agents who have pledged to strengthen. You know, I see shit like this, and I'm like, you know what? The reptiles from V are here, aren't they? They really are here. You know? These are the only motherfuckers that be drinking stem cell smoothies and all this shit. Jesus. But yeah, this is what the elite are into, man. They know. That's why they won't allow stem cell research and all that stuff to happen. Because they know it's a cure-all, and it is. They can cure anything with stem cells, dude. It will extend your life. But, you know, nobody's comfortable with that, you know? Nobody's comfortable with, and you shouldn't be comfortable with it. You know what I mean? When you know who's running this motherfucking show, you shouldn't be comfortable with that at all. Because I'll tell you what doesn't make me comfortable is the idea of thinking that if these guys really wanted to, they could just, you know, Pink Floyd, meat grinder style, you know, we don't need no education, you know, faceless, going into the meat grinder. I mean, you want to talk about selling us on the solving global warming and selling us on saving animals and selling us on stopping overpopulation. Boy. Because, I mean, they already tried. They already tried. What was that shit? The voluntary extinction program? Voluntarily kill yourself to save Mother Earth. That's what humans need to do. Go first, buddy. Go ahead. Right behind you. Now, you guys that started that group, you guys line up first. You blow your brains out. We're going to blow ours out right behind you. Ready? Go. But it wouldn't surprise me in the least. Hey, we figured out how to solve this depopulation program. We just tell everybody that's too poor to have health insurance from the government, or too poor to have food, or doesn't want to work in our system. Well, you're in the line over here. They grind us all up into stem cells so they can fucking all live forever. Wouldn't surprise me. Grind us all up, use us for stem cell smoothies so they can live forever. There's your solution to overpopulation, elite. It's probably what they got planned. Boy, look at these winners. I got to drop this. Oh, by the way, I want to mention this. We do now have a new chat room at theglobalreality.com. It's a secure chat room, and you'll have to make a sign-in. And I'll have to approve you before you can come into the chat room. Now, you know, if you send one of these during the show, I'm probably not going to see it, so you're going to have to be patient. But, yeah, it's and we're loving it in there so far. It's great. It's secure, and it's pretty awesome. But, oh, I know what I was going to do. Never mind. I'm dropping this. I'm dropping a link in the chat room. I love how you can actually you put a link in here. It's a pretty cool chat. We're liking it so far. But I want you guys to look at the at that picture I just dropped in the chat room. Those look like some of the trolls we've had. Some of these. I don't even want to say the name. Give them any attention, but. Some of the trolls we've had in the chat room recently from some radio networks look like some of those people I see in those kind of chat rooms, don't they? Seriously, look at that. Eight members of racist skinhead group arrested for hate crimes and paramilitary weapons training. And that's what I've been telling people. Getting involved with these white supremacist groups and these white supremacist white nationalist organizations and all this stuff, it's just, they're all being run by the feds and the spooks. And unfortunately, people are falling into that. Local police and federal authorities in Florida have arrested eight members of a white supremacist group, including three leaders, on hate crime and conspiracy, according to police. I swear, I've seen those people in our chat room before. Three of the people arrested, Marcus Falelia, his wife Patricia Falelia, and Mark McGowan, are leaders of the local American Front organization. The rest are low-ranking members. McGowan, 29, and his wife, Jennifer, 25, were also accused of giving paramilitary weapons training, knowing the new skills were likely to be used to fight the government. And see, how did anybody... Well, that's what they're not telling us right here. I'm probably tell us here down more in the article. How did the authorities find out they were doing this? The only way the authorities would have found out any of this was going on is if they had a snitch in the bunch. And that's where you find all the spooks and the feds and the provocateurs are all in these white nationalist, white supremacist, Jew groups. The arrests over the weekend were the second wave of busts in major FBI investigation of white supremacist groups in Central Florida. The three arrested over the weekend were Diane Stevens, 28, Kent McClellan, 22, and Paul Jackson, 25. Christopher Brooks, 27, an ex-con, was arrested Monday. Police are also searching for his friend Richard Swamp Nazi Stockdale. His name is Swamp Nazi? Well, that's just wonderful. All of them belong to American Front in St. Cloud, Florida, an organization that builds its mission as religious and cultural preservation of the European people. That's another thing I found in my research for this film. The Rh negative was in the bloodlines, was introduced to Europeans by an ancestor that came from the West. That's interesting now, isn't it? The Anti-Defamation League calls American Front a racist skinhead group that has long been involved in violent crimes against Jews, immigrants, and other minorities. Well, yeah, that tells you right there it was a provocateur operation. If the ADL and what's the other one, Southern Poverty Law Center, who both are on this. See, anytime they get involved in a case that quickly, that's how you know it's a provocateur op. That's how you know these people were unwilling dupes. I mean, you know, that's look at this. You know, in this day and age, people just fall into belief systems. I mean, especially with a black president, that's one of the reasons they did this, so they can provocateur more people, so they can perpetuate this myth of white Al-Qaeda and the white extremists. None of this stuff exists unless it is being perpetuated by federal agents who are trying to create an agenda and a narrative to get more funding on their homeland security operations. Period. End of story. What do you want to bet some elite guy built this? How much does this thing cost? This is a toy for the rich and famous here. Somebody actually built a remote-controlled flying dragon. Pretty fucking rad, actually. And it actually breathes fire. I mean, this thing probably costs $1 billion. Oh, why do I keep doing that? Oh, is that right? Well, I'll tell you what's funny is it has been my, not just my opinion, but not just my belief, but others, many others, listeners of mine in the past who had pointed this out to me several times through the years of doing my radio show, is that anytime anybody gets fingered by the ADL, 99% of the time, that group or person or outfit or whatever it may be is working hand in glove with the ADL. It's something to think about. You know what I mean? Because in order to be able to keep the myth and to keep the funding going on the everybody wants to kill the Jews conspiracy, you have to keep the Jews are in charge of everything conspiracy going, and people can't wrap their minds around the fact that the people, the very people that fund these Jew-hating organizations are the Jews, or more appropriately, the Zionists that they claim to be against. So keep that in mind. Well, look at, I mean, David Icke, Alex Jones, the list goes on and on. And every time, right around the time when you start to see somebody get fingered by the Anti-Defamation League, right around that time is when you start seeing that group or entity or personality, whatever it may be, you always see them right around that time starting to really run disinfo ops pretty heavy. We saw that with Jones, David Icke. I mean, it's, you know. It's just interesting to sit back and watch all this transpire, you know. But most of the time, this stuff either happens. It happens for one or two reasons. Either happens as number one, somebody's throwing a lot of cash around for it to happen, which is generally the case. Or number two, it's done on a threat. You know, it's a blackmail situation. Let's see what else we have here. Oh, they're reinforcing this. Reinforcing the asteroid meme again. Who needs Bruce Willis? Earth's best chance at against a really big asteroid would be throwing a handful of tiny robots at it. Squadrons of pebble-sized asteroids would deflect asteroid and would need to be launched 8 years in advance, could deflect an asteroid 22,000 miles and make it miss Earth. Previous research focused on large craft with equally large lasers. Asteroid defense is always focused on huge weaponry such as a nuclear warhead or lasers, but Strathclyde researchers believe throwing a handful of rocks could do the trick instead. Two engineers at the University of Strathclyde think that instead of the huge, cumbersome laser weapons proposed by earlier projects, a swarm of tiny spacecraft weighing 1,000 pounds would deflect it. Speaking at a conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Allison Gibbings and Massimo Milano Vasili, the two engineers, propose a swarm of solar-powered pebbles could deflect an asteroid by 22,000 miles, enough to miss Earth entirely. The swarm would be launched into orbit in a single rocket, New Scientist magazine reports, then would form into a swarm that would attack a 250-meter space rock head-on. Until now, research into an asteroid shield for our planet is focused on huge satellites carrying equally vast weapons. Well, think about that as well. I mean, you could as easily say that the same thing could happen if it was going to attack, you know, I don't know, let's say for just theoretically, you know, some kind of giant mothership or something, right? That'd be in your best tactical advantage to have a weapon like that against something like that too, wouldn't it? You know, because you can sit there and just pummel it with things over and over, but if you had something you could shoot a swarm, you know, like a shotgun does. And that's the thing. There's always multiple reasons. There's always the cover reason. You know, there's always the press version of why they need all this funding for these. Oh, so in this case, you know, well, we need an asteroid shield to deflect an asteroid, but there's always more to it than that. But that's interesting. They continue to push. They tell us, oh, there's no worries. Don't have anything to worry about. Nothing to worry about. No, there's no, none of the asteroids out there will ever hit Earth ever. No, we're not worried about it. But yet, you read the news, and there's a lot of people worried about it. Yeah, there's a lot of fucking funding going to it. You know, that's the whole thing is they, you know, the reality is scarier than they let on it to be. And so why you would want to be, to call yourself an outlet of truth, but yet do nothing but spread fear makes zero sense to me. Because you can get all the fear you want if that's the vibration you choose to inhabit. You can get all fear you want looking below the surface of what they put in the news every single day. When life was just beginning to emerge on Earth, nearby Mars could also have been a watery world shrouded in a dense atmosphere that could have supported life. Well, yeah, right, it did, right? And the cataclysm happened, and they all migrated and, you know, came to Earth or whatever, right? One of the reasons why water no longer flows on Mars' surface is because the atmosphere is less than 1% of the density of Earth. But Professor Joseph Dufek of Georgia Tech University looked at a crater left by a rock fragment around 3.5 billion years ago, found by Mars rover Spirit, and realized from the depth of the crater that the atmosphere must once have been much thicker. And this, again, this is an ongoing saga. They've been slowly acclimating us to things they're going to roll out about Mars in the future. By the way, did you guys see this video that was posted allegedly by Anonymous, and then people said it wasn't Anonymous, it was a fake group? And then other people said, no, it absolutely was Anonymous. And other people said, no, it's a fake group. It's bullshit. Something about they found the secrets of the Illuminati and these aliens want to communicate with us and all this shit. You guys hear about that? It's weird. Whether it's true or whether it's not, the only reason it's interesting to me is because, well, there's no question that you know, Anonymous is a government operation. There's just no question. CIA, Mossad, Interpol, the whole MI6, the whole gang's got their nuts in, deep in that shit. But so, you know, the reason the story was interesting, fake or not, or whether it was really them, I mean, who knows? Who's to say who's the real Anonymous and who isn't? How would you ever know? They're Anonymous, right? But the point is that if anybody was going to do it, if they were going to, you know, these people don't want the burden of proof to be on them. So it wouldn't surprise me that they used, you know, one of these government-controlled hacking groups like Anonymous or something like that, you know, to claim that they got hacked government documents about extraterrestrials and put it on the web, and then that's what forced disclosure. Because the government's never going to come out and tell us jack shit. But they would use an alternative channel like that to do it so that they would never have to, you know, basically own up to it. I don't know. It's interesting. space weapons. I mean, they're going full tilt with it, dude. I mean, there's either going to be a space war or an asteroid event or, you know, something. Or at least they're preparing for the possibility of that happening. And that could always be it, too. It may not even be that they know for sure something's going to happen, but that they have enough evidence to support that the likelihood of something like that, and that's a big thing with these people. It's not always just about what they can prove or what they know. It's like statistical likelihoods. That's what they love. They love that. Whole economies and whole, you know, lives hang in the balance on a day-to-day basis of probabilities and likelihoods and you know, numbers that get crunched. If these elite cocksuckers believe that there was even a probability that they would get wiped out from an asteroid threat or an alien threat, they would put all available resources towards things. It's like a gun. Better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it. And that's the way they think about everything that pertains to their agenda. Contingency plan upon contingency plan. Northrop Grumman Corporation has test-fired the first product in its next-generation Firestrike family of high-energy solid-state lasers that meet goals for size and weight reduction and ruggedization for operational applications. The test conducted in the company's Redondo Beach laboratory demonstrated that the laser could burn through the skin and critical components of a target drone used to simulate anti-ship cruise missile threats to the U.S. Navy. So, drones with lasers on them, that's just fantastic. Fantastic news. You guys hear this stuff about Travolta, the masseuse suing? Say Travolta came out with like half a wood. It's like, come on, man. Come on. Hey, come on. Let me give you a hand job, man. Come on. Come on. Oh, man. That is just too funny. Masseuse claims he told Travolta he did not have sex with his clients, but Travolta was undeterred, offering to do a reverse massage, adding, come on, dude, I'll jerk you off. Come on. The suit goes on to allege Travolta then masturbated and told the masseuse he got to where he was due to sexual favors he had performed when he was in his Welcome Back Cotter days, adding that Hollywood is controlled by homosexual Jewish men who expect favors in return for sexual activity. Well, that is true. That's your, come on, let me give you a hand job. Oh, my God, that is just too fucking funny, man.
Will Tom Cruise and John Travolta please come out of the fucking closet?
Fucking South Park. That's just too funny. Imagine like, being the dude that wrote, just, you know, rolled over to give somebody a massage. They tried to find out not only was it John Travolta, but when he rolled out, he had half a fucking wood. Oh, come on, bro. Give you a hand job. Come on. Jesus Christ. Man, that is just fucking too much. I can't imagine being that guy. Yeah, you goddamn right he's suing.
Come on. Everybody's gay. Jeez. Oh, jeez. Give me a hand job. Oh, jeez. Ah, Jesus, just a bunch of gay Jewish men. Ah, jeez. Give you a hand job. Don't touch my hair.
Oh, that's just too much. Yeah, I'm done with the fucking news tonight. Fuck it all. Let's take a break, come back, and we'll get into The Fifth Dimension by Vera Stanley Alder right here for you on the Global Reality, on the Global Reality Radio Network. Stay with us.
Thank you. Absolutely Teenage Wasteland.
Sally, take my hand. We'll travel south across land. Pour out the fire. Don't look past my shoulder. The Exodus. The happy ones are here. Let's get together before we get much older. Teenage Wasteland. Teenage Wasteland. Oh yeah. Teenage.
uncensored, no holds barred talk. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is the Global Reality Radio Network.
All right, back here with you on the Global Reality, right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. Thanks for being with us tonight for another late night Moonbat edition of the broadcast. Excuse me. We're going to be continuing in our new series of reading here. Again, you know, may make the decision at some point. I don't want to read this book, but for now, I'm going to continue reading it. But we'll get to that here in just a minute. TheGlobalReality.com is my website. Up there, you will find all things pertaining to my work, documentary films. You can get a lot of my films up there for sale. We recently just found a cache of copies of my first film, The Secret Right. I'm sorry, not The Secret, The 9/11 New World Rising. So we have a few of those if you've never gotten a copy of that. Secret Right Volume 1, Secret Right Volume 2, you can get all those on DVD there at my website. We also have the Chipping Banners there for the month. We haven't gotten a lot in so far this month. It's been slow last month and this month so far. We don't have very much of our account right now at all, so we did whatever help we can get in this week. And we also have the one for the film there as well. We also have Chipping Banner, donate button where you can put any amount you want. We also have the P.O. Box there. If you absolutely can't use PayPal, we can become a member monthly as well, different amounts that come out. And we also have a Amazon wish list there where you can just make a purchase off of our wish list, which will send an item that we need for our work here, and started doing that in lieu of having fundraisers to buy equipment. I thought, well, you know, let's just put out the equipment we need out there on a wish list and see if people want to help that way. That way, you know, you purchase it, you know, directly where it's going, and there's no question about it, so. There you go. I got to find out. And I had this marked. I guess I'm starting here. Okay. I just read the preface last week, right? Yeah. Introduction. What is meditation? Barry Stanley Alder's The Fifth Dimension. What is meditation? Is it something vague? Is it in any way practical? Could it be called scientific? Deeply scientific? Perhaps the most scientific activity in existence. What is its history? What are said to be the results of its practice? And what kind of people have been and are its exponents? Has it a biological function or physical function? Has it definite effects on psychological activities? Does it affect energy output? How does it compare with the taking of drugs? Is meditation really connected with the pituitary body and the pineal gland and other brain organs? And if so, how can we prove it? Well, it absolutely is. To what extent can we experiment with it ourselves? Why was it, in various forms, considered to be the essential foundation for national government in ancient civilizations? By the time we have considered all these questions, we will know whether the practice of meditation and all that it includes is really what we are after in order to build a new and wonderful life for ourselves independently of all circumstances. The practice of meditation has been and should be only part of a complete way of life designed to bring development and maturity, firstly, in the invisible components of the mind, secondly, in the visible brain growth, and thirdly, in the orientation and control of action. There is such a wealth of literature, sometimes, alas, contradictory, on this age-old science that a clear-cut summary is needed for so many of us who have, perhaps, but little time in which to obtain a hold of the subject. It is rather the same as the search for the ideal diet. We are confronted with a mass of literature, some of which contradicts the other quite wildly. This is because, of course, everyone is at different stages of need and understanding. However, during my own search amongst the masses of diet books, I finally came across quite a tiny volume of which explained exactly what happened during digestion, and according to what one had eaten. This helped me more than any before because I could now visualize the actual proven processes and realize what happened with each combination eaten. Under different circumstances and conditions, this analysis gave me a working basis on which to form my own conclusions and decisions and build up a program to suit my particular stage and needs and projects. Surely the name should be written regarding meditation, which is, after all, a process of choice, combination, assimilation, digestion, elimination, rebuilding, and use in activity. We might therefore begin by ascertaining the mental organs of intellectual digestion and their reactions to choice, combination of ideas, food for thought, digestion, subsequent nourishment, good or bad, and successful elimination of the unwanted. We must find out whether such mental organs exist. Science has taught us in the last analysis all is energy, and that the most powerful and actual activities are those we cannot see. It appears that the visible is really only a kind of sheath and a focal point for the basic invisible activity. An instance of this is the vast power focused through an atom and the invisible genius at work within a cell. Therefore, in the study of any subject, we have to take into account two of its parts, the visible and the invisible. However, a fuller analysis can prove that there are really three parts. One, the so-called solid part, presenting to us the sheath and form which isolates its activities. Two, the electrical counterpart, whose existence can be proved and contacted through a study of radiations and which is able to manipulate the solid matter. As an instance of this, we can refer to certain types of healing. And three, the truly invisible authority, back of it all, that mysterious eye, which is veiled in so many complexities. Are we able to locate our eye and examine it? For instance, what part of you is it that has decided to read this book and is activated by a desire for progress and for knowledge? There is another part of you which resists this effort, which is lazy, which is pleasure-seeking, which is surely in opposition. So we begin right away with two parts, that which wants to achieve something and that which is against it. Then you will agree that there is a third part, the conditioned part, which makes one want to do only what is expected of him. This may be in direct opposition with the other two. We can soon ascertain that human temperament is usually divided into at least three parts, and any new crisis, book, or circumstance may at once create a fourth part. You will immediately see that these divisions, all pulling against one another, are each using up energy, and thus not only diminishing the total energy available for any one act or thought, but actually causing energies to collide and devour each other. Thus, one's potential energy inheritance is spoiled, diffused, scattered, or inhibited from the very start. At the earliest age, one is taught, you must not do this, you must not think that, etc. It is a world of don'ts, which cause one to start putting the brakes on one's natural exuberance, curiosity, and will to do. As a rule, one is given no logical reason for these don'ts. Our self-repression is obliged to be unquestioning and influenced by fear of reprisals. We crush down our real desires to know, to do, and to experience, and we have no sound reasons for the patterns into which we are being molded. A part of us is perhaps content to have our own thinking and organizing done for us, while another part of us is in our deep rebellion, either conscious or subconscious, or even superconscious. All this obviously builds within us a situation of crisscross energies, desires, resentments, frustrations, and even apathies, which eventually produce chaos in our orientation, our realization, and our state of identity. We have allowed this whole condition within ourselves to be enclosed, beaten together, and molded into the required social pattern like a piece of dough for bread making. Our personalities are therefore like lumps of dough wherein all the ingredients are held prisoner in inextricable and uncongenial congestion. When people speak to us, our replies pop out automatically, mostly habitual reflexes without thought. A good example is our famous weather exchanges. If we are asked an unwanted question, we suffer actual mental pain at the prospect of having to think about an answer. We usually cannot do it, but trot out whatever attitudes we have adopted from our spasmodic reading and listening habits. If this is a true picture of some of us, is not such a situation really death in life? And is it not a horrible result of generations of a blind following of a line of at least resistance, letting the other fellow do our thinking for us? Is this not a tragic state of affairs when one considers that it is possible that any one of us may have a potentially remarkable mind, an amazing willpower, unlimited energy, and an inner fountain of knowledge and wisdom, if only he could break out of the terrible prison of conditioning described above? It's funny, I started out tonight talking about that, mental prisons, and how these mental boxes are there waiting for us, but then some people decide to put themselves in a mental prison willfully on their own. I can't believe that. Especially blows my mind when I see it happen to people that, you know, I thought had half a brain in their head. They have a grip on things. It's unbelievable. But again, it's that age of revealing. Certainly this will need a dynamic first effort, but it will mean the difference between being a half-dead puppet and a living, adventuring, influential individual. How much does such a change and such an adventure mean to us? Can we make sufficient effort? And what effort would that have to be? The way to such achievement has been patiently developed and demonstrated by certain wise people throughout history. It has been built around the science which we now know as meditation. This science has existed in all systems or religions planned for the essential development of man. In ancient Egypt, the motto was this: science was man, know thyself. The belief was that people can only reach real success and fulfillment by first of all learning exactly what human beings are, how they are made, their relationship with the rest of nature, the steps which they can approach spiritual awakening, and finally, what they have to look forward to after death. As you see, the ancient Egyptians purported to know far more about the human situation than we would assume to know at this day and age. But did they know? And has this knowledge been lost? We find that the same kind of knowledge existed in Tibet, and that in China, vast tomes and archives of such subjects were preserved at the emperor's court, to which he was liable to add his own learned commentaries. In India, any parents would willingly give up their small son if he were selected by sages for vocational training in such self-development. One of the names for such a way of life was yoga, a system planned to unite the human personality with its divine source, or dynamic potency. Yoga embraced many branches, and meditation was a fundamental part of the training. In those early days, people were far more leisured than we are today, and could often devote their whole lives to such development. In the West, the monks and nuns developed such types of training in their own ways. However, human failings gradually built up such conditions of luxury, oppression, warfare, exploitation, and ignorance that the long, dark ages of superstition and materialism set in and obliterated the awareness of the existence of spiritual wisdom, which earlier had been innate in all peoples of the earth. Thus, the human spirit became separated from its own heritage and glory, and in inner despair and disorientation destroyed its natural integrity. By the time the Buddha came, he had to rediscover the essential spiritual techniques, including meditation, and Christ after, and Christ after he had been beautifully trained by the Essenes, and others was faced with a public of immature, primitive ignorance, very different to conditions which had been obtained in earlier civilizations. The so-called Dark Ages had set in. Now, after 2,000 years, we are witnessing the chaos and worldwide distress which are the results of neglecting and compromising with the noble sciences of fulfillment so generously bequeathed to man. Things that have reached such a pass that either mankind will collapse utterly into moral self-destruction or a vigorous reaction will arouse the will to regenerate and rebuild before it is too late. When such a reaction comes, it must be taken at its flood tide or the opportunity will be lost. There must be available concise and trustworthy information as to the ways and means of awakening. And the ways and means of awakening the true self and the intrinsic power for good which lies waiting within humanity. Well, that sums up everything I've ever wanted to do with this show and my work right there. There must be available concise and trustworthy information as to the ways and means of awakening the true self and the intrinsic power for good which lies waiting within humanity. That's like the motto of this, my whole show. That's my whole friggin' motto. It's amazing to see somebody else write it down in that way. It's crazy. That's just like, that's what's in my head. If I had to sum up what, you know, the mission statement, that's it. There must be available concise and trustworthy information as to the ways and means of awakening the true self and the intrinsic power for good which lies waiting within humanity. It is vital that such information is ready at hand so that man can have an exact picture of what he can achieve and how he can produce in himself an instrument of service and salvation on this striving, struggling planet. Let us therefore build up a blueprint of the situation within ourselves and the technique with which we can master it. And so we will stop right there. We'll pick back up with Chapter 1, The Miracle of Man, tomorrow on the show. Good stuff there tonight, man. I think this is going to be good after all. I think this is a good choice. I think it's going to be a good reading. Because really that's the big thing. You know, we're taught to always be searching out there for the hero, somewhere out there, you know. Oh, put all your faith and all your hopes in this, you know, this presidential candidate. Put all your money and your faith and your hopes in Ron Paul. You know, put all your faith and your money and hopes in the hero that's going to ride in on the white stallion and save you. So we're always told to put, you know, or this Christ figure or this person over here. We're always told to put our faith for our own spiritual enlightenment or our own well-being or anything else in some other entity other than who? Than ourselves. Each and every one of us has the ability to unlock from within ourselves our ability to change not only ourselves, not only our world, but the entire world. And this is why I continue to document, to expose, to research, and to make films on these topics to hopefully do my part in this short transitory life here that we all have to further truth. At the end of the day, that is what I am going to be able to say about myself, and that's what I've done here, and I've furthered the truth thanks to your help and thanks to your support and your donations out there, and I hope you'll help to keep us going so we can continue to do that. TheGlobalReality.com is my website. That's where you support our work. Please do so because we're low in the kitty right now. My name is Josh Reeves, and I love each and every one of you. I'll see you back here tomorrow. You guys have a great one. Take care.